In John chapter 8, the text which we just read, just outside of Jerusalem, we find them gathered together, and we find this interesting situation unfold in this text. Several had caught this woman in the act of adultery, and they drag her before Jesus and want this lady stoned to death for her act that she was caught in. And rightfully so, that would be the consequence for this act that she was involved with. But it's interesting how Jesus responds in this situation. And I think it goes perfectly with the lesson this morning. Remember, we're starting every first Sunday morning of the month, we're running with our theme. Our theme is live like He's coming tomorrow. Live like He's coming tomorrow. And we find in this text that these individuals were oblivious to the sin that was in their life. Now, there's been lots of speculations about Jesus stooping down and what He actually wrote in the sand. Some believe that He was writing their names one by one, who have actually been with this lady Himself. Some believe that Jesus stooped down and He started writing with His finger in the sand the sin, each individual sin that these people were involved with. But what's interesting to me is from the oldest first to the youngest, they drop their stones and they walk away. Maybe it's experience of life. Maybe the older are a little wiser and know where this is going. Maybe their hearts are still soft enough to see the light. They know they're not invincible and they know that they're guilty of sin. And from the oldest to the least, they walk away. And here this lady is left before Jesus, open, accused, and guilty of a sin before the Lord. And Jesus tells her, I'm not going to stone you, but go and sin no more. Now that's a quick synopsis of what was just read for us a second ago by our dear brother Dylan. But how does this theme, how does this idea of examine my life fit in with this text? I want to say this this morning about this text here. It took Jesus stooping down and writing the sins that they were guilty of for them to see the light. Now, I'm here to say Jesus isn't going to come and return again as a man. You're not going to find Him in the scenario that we see here where there is sand, and He is going to speak to you and He's going to write in the sand the sins that you are guilty of. But I will tell you that His word has been revealed for us so that we might know how to live our lives. And when the message is preached and we are guilty of what's being taught on, we ought to change. We ought to get that in line with God. But I'm also here to say, before the message is preached, this should be happening in our life daily. We should be examining our lives to see if we're right with God or not. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to look at somebody else and examine them, is it not? It's a lot easier for us to look not at our own lives, but the lives of those that surround us and start pointing our fingers and judging what they've done wrong or what they're not doing. What's hard is to look at our own lives through God's eyes. That's the challenge. This whole year, we're going to look at this idea of living like this moment is our last moment. 12 ideas that we'll run with. And my hope and desire is that we'll understand the progression of the lessons that we'll talk about this year. It starts with you first. It starts with you looking at your life, examining your life, and seeing where you're doing well and see where you need to improve. And where you're doing well, continue there. Where you're not doing so well, change your ways. I'll tell you, this is one of the hardest lessons that we'll apply this year. Because examining our life, our own life, brings fear to us. We see our inadequacies. We see our failures. We see our mistakes. We see our sins. And we don't like that. But in order for us to remain in the faith, in order for us to be right with God, I will tell you it is absolutely essential for us to examine our own lives and quit looking at each other and quit judging each other and be more sincere about the sin that's in our own life. Will you study with me this morning? It's kind of interesting, this thought. If you're wanting to be prepared, the text that we'll be looking at this morning for the majority of the lesson is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5, where it talks about examining our life. If you notice, at the end of every lesson almost that I preach, I loosely quote the text that we're talking about this morning. And for good reason. It's a lesson that was taught to me many years ago, and I've never forgot the impact of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 in my own life. The idea of examining my own life first to see that if I am right with God before I start talking to others about their life. What's interesting is that thought is not first recorded for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Matter of fact, when we look at Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 40 and 41, Jeremiah laments over the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, and he calls for the people to do something very profound. He calls upon them to examine themselves and to turn back to the Lord. That's what we're asking you to do this year. That's what we're asking you to do in this lesson. To examine our lives, and if need be, we need to turn back to the Lord, or maybe turn to the Lord. Maybe we've never turned to the Lord. Maybe we've never recognized Him as King and Lord in our life. And if that's you this morning, my hope and desire is that something in this lesson will prick your heart enough to make you move with godly fear to obey the gospel. And if you are here and you are not living right, God is not first. You are not sound in the faith. You are not a faithful Christian. That you'll turn from your ways as well. As Jeremiah pleaded with the people to examine themselves and return to the Lord, that is our plea for you this morning. We also find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 27 through 31, we find Paul in observance with the Lord's Supper. Guess what he told them to do? Before you partake of the Lord's Supper, what are you to do? Examine yourselves. Partaking of the Lord's Supper, which we just did a moment ago, is not something to enter into lightly. It's something that demands our attention. It's something that we do every first day of the week. And when we do it, we are to examine ourselves. Put our minds in the right place. Put our lives in the right place. So that we can partake in a worthy manner. And to the text, which we're looking at this morning, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and in verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? I did a lot of research over the last several weeks and months preparing for this lesson. I probably read somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 different sermons on this text here. I've read commentaries on this text. And you know what's staggering to me? Almost every one of those lessons are word for word. When you look at the text and you see the text and you preach the text, it flows very nicely. It's very plainly put together. And I appreciate that. When we talk about the idea of examining ourselves, it's the idea of looking within. Not just with a surface look, but we dig in. We meditate in about our life. We really dive into our lives and take inventory of where we're at, where we were, where we're at, and where we're going. And in the present tense, that's what Paul is saying. That's what he's telling them to do, to be aware of where they've been, where they're at, and where they are going. And too many of us live for the moment. The only thought we give about our life is what we're going to do today. Or if we're lucky, what we might do tomorrow. But the idea of thinking about the afterlife and where we'll be in eternity, we don't think much about that because we are consumed with this world. And unless we stop and examine our lives, that's where our minds will remain. So, question we need to ask ourselves, and from the text, why should we examine ourselves? What's the point in that? As Paul was speaking to the brethren at Corinth, a group that was riddled with problems, individual problems that were carried in into the local congregation, we have a mixed match of a bunch of different people and a bunch of different backgrounds. They've got a lot of problems. And in 2 Corinthians, they are getting their act together. And what Paul says is, you're not there yet. You need to examine yourselves. But why me? Why was that so important for them to do as individuals? Why is it so important for you to do? Every morning you wake up to think about the day that you're going to live and live with purpose. And at the end of the day, when we lay our heads down to examine, to think about the life that we've lived in that day, things we've done, things we wanted to do, we didn't get to look at our lives and to examine ourselves. Why is that so important? It's to determine if we're in the faith or not. Did you catch that? Look at our text again in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves. We know it's essential or it wouldn't be recorded for us. It's there. We know that that's what we must do. But why? Paul further identifies to us in this text and saying, as to whether you are in the faith. So as we sit down and we examine our lives, what are we examining our lives about? If we're right with God or not. We sit down and we contemplate the idea. We meditate upon the idea. As I've lived my life, as I'm living my life now, as I'm going to live my life, am I living with God in my life? Now, listen, if we just ask that random question to the world today, what would most people say? Yes. We look in the religious world, the denomination will say, they will say yes. I dare say that if I ask the group here this morning, if this is you, if you are in the Lord, every one of us would say yes. But you know what? The scriptures say different, don't they? Matthew chapter 7, 13 through 14 teaches us very different. You drop down a couple of verses to 21 through 23, and it teaches us a very different idea than what we would get with a response today with that question. You see why it's so essential for us to examine our lives to see if we are in the faith or not? And the idea that's presented to us here is, are we being a faithful Christian? That's really the question that Paul is asking the brethren at Corinth. Are you a faithful Christian? Now see, that's where we get ourselves in trouble, isn't it? What's the standard of a faithful Christian? Do you know what standard we often use when evaluating if we are a faithful Christian or not? I didn't talk to you this morning, did I, about this lesson? What do we often use, Brother Todd, in determining if we are a faithful Christian or not?
Well, if you're talking about just people in general, I would say their own determination.
There we go. Okay, that's perfect. That's what I wanted you to say. I didn't talk to you about that. I didn't tell you to give that answer, right? But we know that's how we are. We are creatures of the flesh. And when we want to know if we are right with God, if we are in the faith, we often look within ourselves or we judge our lives by others around us. Is that a good standard to use? It is if we want to feel good about ourselves, because we can always find somebody that's weaker than us. But will that estimation tell us if we're in the faith or not? No. And so when Paul is writing to the Corinthian brethren and instructing them to examine themselves to see if they are in the faith or not, he wasn't saying, look within the congregation and look for the weakest member and then determine that you are faithful to God. What he was saying is, you look to God. You look to the words that I've instructed you in, and are you living faithful to those words? Some of them weren't. We know that's the case because the letter was written. Many of them have drifted so far that they were committing acts that even the Gentiles would abhor. But they were involved with this. You see, with us, it's possible for us to drift. Hebrews chapter 2. I wasn't going to read this, but I do want to for just a second. Hebrews chapter 2. and in verse 1 through 4. You know, it's kind of interesting. Brother Grant and I just got done teaching the Minor Prophets. I'm looking forward to teaching with him again in the adult class before too long. But one of the ideas that we presented in Malachi was that the people were far removed from their relationship with God. But you know what was interesting? They didn't know it. They were so oblivious to God's will for them, they thought they were okay, and they weren't. Let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that you were in the faith this morning? Rhetorical question. How many hands are going to be raised, Brother Ben, do you think, if I ask that question? Probably everybody. But are you? And we can read in Scripture, there have been many generations of people that thought they were okay, and they weren't. And we'll talk about some of them this morning very quickly in a moment. But it's possible for us to drift. You know what's interesting about the word drift? You don't know you've done it. There's been occasions where I've come down a road and there's been a sharp turn to the left, and I didn't see it till last minute. Boy, I knew there was a sharp turn. But you know what? I've been in a boat, and I've fished, and I've went along the riverbank, and got caught up with what I'm doing. And then a few minutes later, I realized, boy, I'm far from where the fish... I was catching a bunch of fish over there. I didn't even know I got down here. You know, we can do that with our faith, too. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells me so. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 1, therefore we must give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift. Isn't that what we're saying this morning? The things that God has instructed us to do, we ought to take heed to that. Why? Lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both in signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Do you know what happened in those times? There were ones that witnessed these great and awesome things, were faithful to God in the beginning, but guess what happened? As time went on, they drifted away. How in the world could somebody be witness to miracles and signs, but yet drift away? How is that even possible? We often talk about it. I heard Brother Greg say it this morning in the class, you know. Wouldn't it be awesome to be back then and see some of the things and be able to watch Jesus talk? Wouldn't it be awesome to sit on the banks of the river and watch Moses part the Red Sea and the children of Israel walk across on dry ground? How in the world could they get to the other side and forget the very God that got them there? Brethren, before we're too hard on them, let's remember that we have it all recorded for us right here. What excuse do we have to drift away from the faith? We don't have any. And that's what Paul is trying to instruct the Corinthian brethren to realize. They have no excuse to be where they're at. And they need to get their lives together by examining themselves to realize that they are far removed from their relationship with their God and get that in order. And I will tell you that that message is for us today. There's another reason why we need to examine ourselves, and that's to determine if Jesus is in us. You know, this is an amazing idea that's presented to us in the Gospels. That deity himself would preside in me, a sinful being. That he would come into me when I obey the gospel and baptism, and he would reign in me. That is an amazing idea to think, and I will tell you, I know very little and understand very little on that subject. But I do believe what the scriptures reveal to me. It's an awesome thought to think that he saves us. It's just as awesome to think that he indwells us as Christians today. And that's what he was asking them to realize. Examine yourselves. Are you following what the Lord has told you to follow? And are you in a right relationship with God? And if you are, Christ presides in you. But you know what? He also, in the third place, told them to examine their lives to see if they've been disqualified or not. You know what's interesting to me? Is that some can run in a race and not realize that they've been disqualified already. Ben Johnson, do you know who he is? Most of you probably don't. He lived his glory days several years ago in the Olympics, one of the Summer Olympics. He's a Canadian. He was a Canadian runner. And he won, I believe it was the 100-meter dash, set a record at that time. All Canada went crazy. I went crazy. The Canadians went crazy. We had the fastest man on the planet living in our country, Big Ben. But you know what happened to him? He tested positive for drugs. Guess what happened with that Olympic medal that he received? It was stripped from him. You see, that's many of us. We walk around, we beat our chest like we're right with God. But come judgment day, that medal that we're holding around our neck that we think that we have, that crown that we think we have, the Lord's going to remove that from us. He's going to tell us, I never knew you. This word disqualified is an interesting word. Many of your translations might say, I've been fascinated with this group here at Greenwood. I've never seen so many people use the old King James version. So you might have the idea of reprobates listed for you in your translations. Some translations might say, lest you fail the test. And the idea is, presented to us here, is that they weren't standing the test. That's the text. It literally means not standing the test. That's where they were at. If they would examine their lives, they would see that they weren't standing the test. They weren't passing the test. They weren't right with God. But I'll tell you what, if we never examine ourselves, we'll never know that, will we? What the text is really revealing to them is they were so far removed from the grace of God that they were lost. And they needed to get that right. You know what's interesting in this text? There's an idea that's presented in the religious world that we can never fall from grace. And there are people that buy into this false doctrine. But you know what this text teaches us? We can fall from grace. And many do. What it also teaches us is that many will fall and not even know that they've fallen from grace. Let that not be you. But I'll tell you, if you never sit down and examine your lives, that will be you. You'll be ignorant like many of those in this day and time that the letter was written. So let's go back to what Brother Todd said to us just a second ago. What standard should we use to examine ourselves? What standard should we use? Our own standard? That's a pretty good standard to go by if we're looking into God's Word. But for many of us, when we look into our lives and we examine our lives, we really don't want to know where we're wrong. We really want to know where we're right. We are creatures who do not like to hear that we are wrong. And usually when we hear that we are wrong, we react in a bad way. What did they do with Stephen? What was Stephen guilty of? Nothing. What he was guilty of was telling them that they were wrong like their forefathers. They persecuted the prophets who were before them. And what do? They stoned him. So we don't usually like to go to God's Word when we do an examination of self. What we want to do is use our own standard, our own self, to determine if we're faithful or not. You know what's interesting about that? We have many Bible accounts where individuals thought they were doing the right thing and they weren't. Remember Saul? What was he guilty of? In the book of Acts, it teaches us that he was guilty of dragging Christians, persecuting them. He was the one that stood there as they laid their coats, as they stoned Stephen. They took their coats off and laid them at his feet in all good conscience. The things that he did and he thought was right, but they weren't. And it took the Lord on a road, closed his eyes, opened them up again. But there's a powerful statement. Jesus says what? Why are you persecuting me? You see, we can think that we are doing the right thing and be wrong. There's a bunch of references that we can turn to that indicate that to us. As I mentioned just a second ago in Acts chapter 26, before too long, Brother Nick and I are going to be teaching that section of the book of Acts in the adult class and talking about that scenario there. Matthew chapter 7, I've already talked about that in 21 through 23. Lord, Lord, have we not done this in your name? Being convinced in our own minds that we are right because we use our own judgment. And we fail in that. It's not a good way to examine ourselves. Neither is it by others. I don't think I've ever preached a lesson here at Greenwood where anybody's come out to me, except for one of the brother Todd. He talks to me often. But I don't think there's been anybody that's come out of this building and told me, you know what, Neil, put that lesson away and don't ever preach it. Only my wife. Put that away, don't ever preach that lesson again. Most people will come out and tell you, fine job, great lesson. And I'm not accusing you of not being honest with that. But what I am saying is, if I base my faithfulness just on what somebody says, and that's what I run with, can that estimation be wrong? It sure can it? Somebody can tell you you're doing the right thing, but in actuality, you're doing the wrong thing. I've said this before. When we're having marriage troubles, who often do we go to? Somebody who else has been through marriage troubles. Somebody who's been divorced. Especially if we're not wanting to work things out with our spouse, we go to somebody that's been through a divorce and we say, well, you know, what should I do in this scenario? And that person will say, well, there's lots of other fish in the sea. You know, God wants you to be happy. And then what do you run with? What they've told you, instead of going to God's Word. What does God say? Who cares what you feel and what you say? Who cares what your friends say or others say about your faithfulness to God and how you should live your life? What does the Bible say? Brethren, if we want an honest estimation of self, if we want to truly examine ourselves, we need to look into God's Word. Do you know why? Because that's what the Bible says so. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn with me over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And in verse 18, it says this. I wish we could talk a little bit more about the context here, but time's quickly getting away. In verse 18, he says this. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. It's nice to hear somebody say, you're doing a good job, keep doing what you're doing. It's nice for somebody to recognize your faithfulness in an area that you've really struggled to improve in your life. It's nice to hear those things. It's nice to get a pat on the back. But I'll tell you what, if we are not living for the Lord and the Lord's approval, then we are living a life that is a dangerous life and a life that's never truly been examined. He is the ultimate judge. He is the one that approves us, and He is the one that we should be concerned to hear from. If we truly want to examine ourselves, we need to use God's Word as the standard. As we close up this morning on the subject of examining ourselves, there are a few questions I want you to struggle with this morning. The first one is, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Galatians chapter 3. I hope that you struggle with this thought, not only for the next few minutes as you're looking it out on the board, but I hope when you go home this afternoon that you contemplate this idea. Are you truly in Christ? Can you confidently leave here this morning saying, yes, absolutely, I am in Christ? Galatians chapter 3. And in verse 26, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you've not been baptized, you've not put on Christ. You are not right with God. Now that seems narrow and come on, look at the religious world. There are so, what standard are we going to use? Myself? Other people or God's Word? What does God's Word say? If we want to be in Christ, baptism is essential. It's just as important as belief. It's just as important as repentance. It's just as important as living our lives faithful to God. Have you put them on in baptism? John chapter 14. This is probably the verse that would apply to most of us this morning. John chapter 14 and in verse 21, I'm in Luke, that's why it's not making sense. John chapter 14 and in verse 21, it says this, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Have you put on Christ in baptism, and are you living faithful to God's word? Not your own opinions, not your friends' opinions, but God's word. If you can confidently say that you are living in accordance with God's word, and you can confidently say you've been baptized, you've had your sins washed clean and free from you, then you're in Christ. But it also would teach us, when we examine ourselves, and if we're asking true and honest questions of ourselves to see if we're right with God or not, are the marks of discipleship in my life? When one observes how I walk, how I talk, how I live my life, could I be accused of being a Christian? Now, that's a sobering question for us to struggle with, isn't it? If I went to work tomorrow, where you work, I went to work tomorrow, and I asked the people that you work with, hey, is this person a Christian? What would they say? Well, they say, well, I don't know. He seems like a good person, but I don't know. What some might say, there's no way that that person is a Christian. You should hear how they talk, the jokes that they say when we're around. What would they say? What about the brethren here? What would we say? If we did judge each other and we did look into each other's lives and give an honest assessment of our lives, what would they say? I know if I sat down with my kids and say, listen, there's going to be no retribution at all. You tell me what's most important to Dad. That might be a sobering question that I need to ask, and it's a fearful question of what I might hear. What about you? You see, when we look into Scriptures and we study Scriptures, we begin to see that there's an attitude of those that have examined themselves, those that are walking in the faith. There's an attitude that God is first and all else is second, and it's very evident as you watch them. Do you think it was evident to those that would watch the scenario with Stephen unfold that he was dedicated to his Lord? Do you think anybody walked away from him being stoned, scratching their head and saying, you know what, I wonder if he was truly given to the Lord or not? You see, there's a mindset. There's an attitude to that person that has evaluated his life, that's examined his life, and wants to live in accordance with God's will. There is evidence of that in that person's life. You see, they have the fruits of the Spirit. They have fruit come out of their lips. They sing praises to God. When they talk, you can hear God coming from their mouth. And their works are extraordinary. They give of their means. They help those who are in need. They do good to their neighbors. And it's apparent that this individual is a child of God. You see, they have a true attitude of a disciple of Christ because they've stopped and they've examined their life. They've taken inventory, they've counted the cost, and they want to be right with their God. Have you done that? You see, if we fail to do this, then all other lessons that we'll look at the rest of this year, we'll struggle with, because we never will truly believe and have confidence that we are right with God. And so we need to examine ourselves. Brother Todd, if I asked you on this next screen to stand up and give the answers to it, how do you think you do? How do you think you do? Are you fearful?
I have no idea what it is.
Does it make you a little apprehensive?
Sure.
How do you think you do with that?
I would do poorly.
You'd do poorly, right? I could bank. If I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would bet that he would fail this test. I would venture to say most in this room would fail the test. I would venture to say that I would probably struggle to pass this test because I've been in the States too long. But you know what test? None of us have an excuse to fail. It's that one that's on the board right now. You don't have an excuse. If you leave here unprepared to meet your Lord, guess whose fault it is? Yours. You as an individual, as you sit in the seats, need to examine your life. Am I right with the God of this universe? The one who created all things. Am I right with Him? Does my life line up with what He tells me to do with my life? Are you living faithful? Have you given your life to God? God's done what God can do. And He longs to do more with your life. But dear friend, you've got to come to him. Dear brother or sister in Christ, you've got to examine your life and make sure that you're right with him. And I hope this morning that you'll do that. And if you're lacking, I hope that something that we've said or done today, whether it's the songs that we've sang, the prayers that's been uttered, the lesson that's been preached, that you will do something with your life to make it right with him. As I mentioned several times already, and I'll continue to say it, I wasn't the first, I won't be the last. If you've missed heaven, you've just missed all there is. And that is so true. Test, examine, and know yourselves. And if we can help you in any way, won't you come to the front or raise your hand while we stand and while we sing?